الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا رحمة للعالمين أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
الصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام
The topic that we are discussing is Karbala yesterday, today and tomorrow. Yesterday we tried to describe to you the impurities that have come into the pure religion of Islam. Every religion is in danger of becoming impure. Not because of the fact of the Prophet, all the Prophets were infallible, but because the religion which is given to people are fallible. And because people would have to transmit the message of the Prophets to others, and because they are fallible, there is a possibility that the message which is pure would get polluted by impurities out of the desires, selfishness, immorality, of the individuals transmitting the message. In today's world, religion is in a different danger. In today's world, religions of the world are in danger of completely being annihilated from the face of this earth. Never has any time existed in the history of this world that the religions of the world would be in the danger of annihilation. Religions have always been in danger of impurity, but never annihilation. And today, we live in a world which is gearing us, plugging us into going towards having no religion whatsoever. A few years back, Time magazine had an article and the cover page was that God is poison. They were not discriminatory against any religion, but in general, God being the poison for humanity. And in a society and culture that we live in, we are being told that any religion, whether it happens to be Christianity, Judaism, Sikhism, Hinduism, any religion is actually the root cause of the problems of the world today. When in reality the root cause of the problems is actually not religion, but the people who are practicing the religion. Islam is a religion which was not brought down 1400 years ago. Islam did not start 1400 years ago. Islam started from the day that humanity landed on this planet. Islam is as old as the first human being called Adam and his wife Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam. Adam and Eve, when they landed on the face of this earth, they brought Islam through 124,000 prophets, being Moses, Hazrat Musa, Hazrat Noah, Yaqub, Jacob, Isa, Christ, Ibrahim, Yusuf, and all the other prophets that you can find in the books that have been revealed by Allah. So So what we need to understand is that Islam is not 1400 years old, but Islam is as old as humanity on the face of this earth. I use the term landed. My question to my little brothers, because no class has ever existed, it is only the miracle of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You will not find anywhere a class in the face of this earth where you will have junior kindergarten, senior kindergarten, and all the way to PhDs. You will not find a class where the ages will start at 6 months, 4 months, 1 month, all the way to 70, 80, 90 years of audiences. And you teach all of those audiences one teacher. But it is the miracle of Imam Hussain that in the majalis of Imam Hussain, all of the audience, even if they happen to be 1 month, or 100 years old, they all receive something. They all gain something. This is a miracle. I use the word landed. For my little brothers and sisters, if I was to ask you the question that, are you an alien? You say, no, I'm not an alien, I'm not green, I don't have big massive eyes, and I don't have tentacles coming out of my head. In reality, every single one of us is an alien. Whether that human being happens to live in China, in Indonesia, in Malaysia, in Africa, in Europe, in North America, in Australia, anywhere on the face of this earth, if there is a human being, they are an alien. There was a spaceship that landed with two beings inside named Adam and Eve, and they had kids, and their kids spread all over this world. So in reality, every single one of us is not from this world. But because so much time has passed, we have started to think that we are of this world. When in reality, we have come from somewhere else, and it is our home where we have to return when eating off home. I don't know if you guys, generally I think this DT was probably the example for the late 30s or... That when our call comes, we will go back to our house, our home where we came from. And that is the reason why we say Inna Lillah wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. Our place is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every single person would have to go back home. Islam means submission. Islam means submission, when something or someone, and I say, when something or someone submits to the will of the only creator, it's called a Muslim. You with me? When someone or something submits to the will of the only creator, it's called a Muslim. Every single thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, whether it happens to be animals, or plants, or mountains, or skies, or earths, or oceans, or doors, or windows, or walls, or floor, or water, every single thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created submits to his will. Does the sun decide one day? Where does the sun come out from? East or west?
East.
East. The sun cannot say that I will not come out of the east and set in west. The sun cannot say that I will do the job of the moon today. The sun cannot say that I will become earth today. The sun has to shine and has to come from the east and set in the west. An orange tree does not decide automatically to become an apple tree. If the Creator has created the orange tree as an orange tree, it will be an orange tree because it does not have a choice but to submit to the will of the Creator.
Bawaz bulan salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Sun is a Muslim. This earth is a Muslim. Mars is a Muslim. Jupiter is a Muslim. The Atlantic Ocean is a Muslim. The sky, the ozone layer is a Muslim. Although, just as with all the other Muslims, we are trying to annihilate ozone layer. Right? Just like every single part that Allah SWT has created is a Muslim. My body is a Muslim. My heart cannot say today I will become a lung. My heart has to be my heart, my lungs are my lungs. My liver is my liver. They cannot go out of the laws that Allah SWT has created for them. But what about my soul? What about my soul? My soul said to Allah SWT that, O Allah, O my Creator, let me decide to either become a Muslim or a non-Muslim. The mountain said, no Allah, we will go as a Muslim and we will come back as a Muslim. The sky said, we will go as a Muslim and we will come back as a Muslim. The soul said, no Allah, I want to achieve this level of submission on my own. Because I would be like to be credited for it. Or if I do not fulfill my promise, you have the right to punish me. It is also the greatness and also the weakness of the soul. Greatness that decided that I will submit on my own free will, and also weakness that did not know what a heavy burden the soul was lifting. If we had realized that we would have to come on this earth and that we would have to be locked up in this body, in this vehicle, which is full of limitations, where a mosquito can bite us, and by the bite of the mosquito we die. Right? Person happens to be very, very strong, falls down, inna lillah, wa inna ilayhi raji'un, is the king of the kings. One day, cannot wake up, gone. Now what happened? Islam came with Adam and Eve, but because of the impurities of people, changed shape. Do you know that the Hindus today were Muslims one day? Do you know that Sikhs today were Muslims one day? Do you know that every single religion that exists today is actually a shape of Islam? Do you know that Buddhists were actually Muslims one day? When we say that there is only one God and there is only 100, that there are 124,000 prophets that came for the guidance of human being and they were put on every single part of this world, every single nation of this world, In every religion, the roots are Islam. Every single religion that exists today, or a part that exists today, is a shape or form of Islam. But is it really the will that the religions are submitting to? This is the question. There's no doubt that the will of God is being submitted to, but what is that will? In order for that will, 124,000 prophets had to come and predefine it for humanity. This is already predefined. There is no change to it. The reason why you see that Christians and Judaism and Islam are standing in one line as monotheistic religions is because of the similarities that Judaism, Christianity and Islam has. But Islam has been put into a line where it is quite different than every other religion. There are 1 billion Muslims around the world. Maybe you need a charge of your battery. So do you know how to charge your battery?
Labbaik ya Hussein.
Nare Hadri!
Ya Hadri!
If we do not submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot be called a Muslim. The will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is predefined. There is no doubt about that. There are 1 billion Muslims around the world. Approximately 1 billion or billion more. Somebody said that Islam is a fasting religion because we have more kids.
But Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad salawat!
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
1 billion Muslims around the world, and then there are about 1 billion Muslims with a different shape of Islam with them called Christians. They were Muslims with the religion that was brought by Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. When changes were made, the creed of Christianity started. So now there's 2 billion, right? There's actually 6 billion. 7 billion people? Last time I checked, it was 6, but it could be every day, every minute, there's more people being born. So it's not really a definite number. The rest of the 4 billion people, whatever religion they happen to be, they are also another shape and form of Islam. So in reality, what we need to do, the 6 billion people, what they need to do is purify their religion, and after purification, all they're going to be left with is Islami Nabi Muhammadi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And this is going to happen. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. That he is that Allah who has sent his prophet with guidance and the true system of life, which will overpower all the other systems of life. Even if those people who have other systems than Islam do not like this fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring that person called Mahdi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Who will bring this earth with peace and justice, because peace can only come after submitting to the will of Allah.
بشه.
If humanity does not submit to the will of that only and only creator, there cannot be peace on the face of this earth. The only way there will be peace and justice among the 6 billion people of the world is if they purify their religions and find out what is the will of their creator, and when they submit to it, they will have peace and justice all around the world.
برای خوشنودی امام زمانہ بلندتر صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The Muslims are also, 1 billion Muslims are honorary degree holders. You have an honorary doctorate degree. If said, okay, we would like to honor you, we will give you the degree of a doctor, but by receiving an honorary degree of a doctor, do I become a doctor?
No.
No. The honorary degree is either you are born in a Muslim family or you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This is your honorary degree after saying that or being born in a Muslim family does not mean that you have become a Muslim.
Subhanallah.
It only means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with the ability to have this honorary degree. It is only and only after you are going to submit to the pure will of your creator that you will become a Muslim.
Subhanallah. Wow.
In that, all of the 6 billion people are in the same boat. They're all in the same boat. It is just as if Christianity was to decide that let's purify our religion and let's go through our books and our history and find out what truly is the will of the Creator and let's submit to it, they will become a Muslim. And it is the same thing for Muslims. If there are 1 billion, for them to go through their books and their history and decide to purify their religion and to submit to the only will of that pure Creator, they will become Muslims. And the same thing with Buddhism, same thing with Sikhism, same thing with Hinduism. But humanity says, no. This is the religion of my forefathers and I will keep it till I die. Because if I decide to purify my religion, maybe I will find out that my forefathers were wrong. And if I find out that my forefathers were wrong, that means that they are not going to receive the reward on the Day of Judgment, which is entitled for them. Whether you do this or not, on the Day of Judgment, everything will become crystal clear. There will be no gray areas. There will be no honorary Muslims. There will only be the Muslims who submitted to the pure will of their Creator. Man says no. And every single prophet that came on the face of this earth to purify the religion which was become impure by the people who practiced the religion from the before prophet received the same objection. Christ said, Hazrat Isa al-Assassin said, what I tell you, I am speaking the truth. For what I am saying, it is the truth. Listen to me, I am telling you the truth. People would say, this is not the truth. Our forefathers are not on this. Hazrat Musa al-Assassin came and said, this is the truth. Oh, our forefathers were not on this. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam came and said, this is the truth. It was a no. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, 950 years, he did the bleed. He preached to people. What will happen if I start going out of this place like you do?
Salawat bar Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, salawat!
Allah! Muhammad,
so he preached 950 years, approximately 2,500 years, he had his age in this world. Eight people decided to say that my forefathers were wrong. Eight people decided to say that my forefathers were wrong, and what you are saying is the truth. How? Why? Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam will go in the morning and preach all day. At night, his wife would come out, go around to the houses of the people that he preached and say, listen, I'm his wife, I don't come in his. Now, I don't get deceived by him. You don't get deceived by him. And this is why the religion stays impure, because the people who preach the religion, one person comes and says, I am from Qom, and this is what religion is. I've come from the city of knowledge, and this is what religion is. Then another person comes and says, "Main bhi udhar se aaya hoon, main unke chakkar mein nahi aaya, tum bhi?" No, no. Yes, I have come also from the same city of knowledge. I have not gotten deceived by them. You also don't get deceived. One person says something else, the other one says something else, and then the audience gets
confused.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Honorary degrees of Shias, honorary degrees of Sunnis. Sunni and Shia, honorary degree. In reality, you will find very, very few people who are actually Sunni. Sunni means someone who has made the Prophet as his or her role model. Sunni means what? Someone who has made the Holy Prophet as his or her role model for his or her life. Find me one. Shia, honorary degree, I know. Shia means someone who says that I have made someone who is like the Prophet in every era as my role model. Shia says that I have made someone a role model who is just like in character, like the Holy Prophet in every single era of this world. Find me that. Our first is Muhammad, our middle is Muhammad, our end is Muhammad. All of us are
Muhammad. Muhammad. Salawat.
Muhammad.
If your role model is not a person like the Prophet or in character like the Prophet or the Prophet, you are neither Shia or Sunni. You only have an honorary degree, a card printed that says, I am a doctor. And what is the problem? Someone, like an honorary degree person, one, and the other honorary degree person, the other, says that I am right, you are wrong. When in reality, if they happen to be truly what they say, there is no difference. Because in character, they will be the same. Because their role models are the same. There will be no difference. If their role model is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
The Shia's role model is someone who is like the Prophet or in character like the Prophet. There is no difference. Hussein ibn Ali, wa ana min Hussein. Hussein is from Ali, and I'm from Hussein. If Hussein is there, I am there. If I am there, Hussein is there. If I was in the shoes of Hussein, I would also give my neck and have that come on a spear. And if Hussein was in my shoes, he would also do sulah. He would also make a peace treaty. He would also fight in Khaybar. He would also fight in Badr. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That in more certainty that it is in the role model of the Holy Prophet, the best example for you. So why are we fighting? Why are the 6 billion people fighting with each other? Why is humanity in perils? Why that more than 1 billion people, and listen to these statistics, more than 1 billion people live on $1 a day. More than 169 million people live on less than 50 cents a day. 5% of the population which lives in North America uses 25% of the resources of the world and creates 30% of the pollution of the world. The 25% population that lives in North America, Europe, in the developed countries uses 80% of the resources of the world and creates 70% of the pollution of the world. Is that injustice or not?
Yeah.
Is that injustice or not?
Yeah. Yes.
It is an injustice which has not existed on the face of this earth before. Never has it been that 25% of the world's population will use 80% of the resources. Well, to finish poverty, and listen to this, to finish poverty by 50%, you need only $20 billion. And the budget to destroy humanity for a country like you are living in is around $159 billion only for Iraq and Afghanistan. But in actuality it's around $200 billion or more. If you want justice, peace and liberty for all, why not just take the $20 billion and finish the whole world's poverty by 50%? If you want justice and peace and equality for humanity, why not just take a small portion of the money that you are spending to destroy it, to help it? What will happen then? Then you will not be able to use 80% of the natural resources of the world. You will not be able to use 80% because these people who are in poverty will be able to use their own resources. The African continent has the most amount of gold and oil anywhere else in the world. Yet, around 179 people, just in 10 years, around 400 million people are now living on $1 a day. Why is that? Why is this injustice? Why? Why should we have all the natural resources of the world? Why people in different parts of the world, kids? What's the difference between the kids in front of me and the kids that are in that poverty where they don't know if they will have food for the next day or the day after? Do they not have the same blood? Are their tears different? Are the pain that they feel inside of their stomach because of hunger any different than theirs? Are their mother's love any different than the love of your mother? If the son gets sick, is it that that mother will act differently than you? Who has given us the right to be able to oppress humanity in this state? Who has given us the right? What is the solution? The solution is, let the lessons of Karbala open its doors for all of humanity. We have shut the doors for the lessons of Karbala, not just for our own selves, but for the rest of humanity. Because the biggest lesson of Karbala is that there will be no oppressor if the lessons are learned from Karbala. If the lessons are learned, there will be no oppressed. Karbala says that you who are hoarding money, who are living lavishly without any checks and balances, you cannot do that. You have to give this money to the ones who deserve it and spread it so that there is no one left hungry. What did the Yazid of that time used to do? Do you know why? Going a little bit back, do you know why? Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Do you know why he used to eat what he ate? You know, jow ki roti, the bread that was made of jow, barley, that you could not break on your knee with water. Do you know why he used to eat that? Because he said, as long as anyone in my government sees me eat, should say that I have more than him. When he sees me eating, he should say that Alhamdulillah, I have more than him. That equality should be spread all around, all humanity should have it. Why did he have to come in this state? Because before him, the money that Islam had was not being spread. So meaning at his time there was so much poverty. There was so much poverty that there was so much class of differentiation that there were people who were living in castles, people who were using all of the resources, people who had all of the money, people who had all the lavishes of the world. And on the other side, you had people who could not even afford half a bread or one bread of the bread made of barley. And that continued. And Imam Hussain Sassan saw that. And when the tyrant of the world at that time, or the tyrant on the Muslims at that time, or the one who was doing injustice, said, you have to pay your allegiance to me. Imam Hussain said that a person like me can never pay his allegiance to a person like you. This should be the call of every single human being on the face of this earth. Every 6 billion people should stand and say, people like us cannot do allegiance to people like you.
Nare Haidari!
Yaari!
Par Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad buland tar salawat!
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
This is a lesson of Karbala. That I will not, a person like me who feels pain and suffering for humanity all around the world, I will not buy Nike shoes. because behind Nike shoes is oppression. When you go and buy it, you are giving your allegiance. I will not buy those things that are made because of other people being oppressed. I'm giving you solutions here. I will not buy those things that are made with the oppression and the blood and sweat of little kids. I will not buy those weapons that have the people who are oppressed that they have to go in tents. Ten cities we have here. I don't know if they're growing or they're getting less. They're growing. Why are people going into tents? Because the money that should be spent on them is being spent by the big corporations who deal with weapons. And then people like the Saudi kings will spend how much?
10 billion.
How much?
60 billion.
60 billion for what?
Planes.
Weapons. It would be a lesson to say, we, as a person who has learned something from Karbala, whose doors were opened by the people who love Imam Hussein, has allowed and taught me that I will not buy Yet, you see that these lessons are not learned. Karbala is a story which began a long time ago. It's older than humanity on this earth. Islam is as old as humanity on the face of this earth, because Islam has been brought down for this earth. Karbala is a story that started when Haris became Iblis. The devil or the Satan, his name was Haris. He worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 6,000 years, as quoted by Imam Ali alayhi
salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
And out of the 6,000 years, Ayatollah Misbah Yafti mentioned that in the books it has been written that 4,000 years, Haris at that time completed 2 rakat prayers. That is, 2 rakat prayers took him 4,000 years to complete. And the 4,000 years of that world, which if you transfer into this world, that world's one day is equal to 1,000 years of this
earth.
Salat wa
Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, among whom Haris is also present, because the angels were subdued or impressed by his worship. Submit to the status and level of humanity. The sijda, the prostration, was not for the body, the vehicle of Hazrat Adam, but it was for the status of humanity, which if humanity uses the power given to him or her by his creator to elevate itself to the levels where the angels cannot soar. Meaning what? The people in China have this potential hidden inside to be able to soar above angels. The people in Indonesia have this power hidden inside to be able to soar above angels. The people in the Middle East have this power stored inside to be able to elevate themselves above the angels. Every single human being.
Nara Hadri!
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 Muhammad Bale Muhammad Bulantas Salawat!
Haris said, I will not submit to God. Why? Because I have an imperialistic approach. I have a capitalistic approach. I am better than him. I am better than him. I do not want to see him on the status which is going to make him above me. I don't want to see that. I will not prostrate. I will not do sister. What happened?
Kicked out.
He became Iblis. He became Satan. He became the devil. He said, Oh Allah, I have worshipped you so many years. Do I not get anything? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yes, you will. You will be able to stay in this world till it ends. And he said, I will make sure that there will be 1 billion people who will live with the $1 a day. I will make sure that there will be 179 million people who will live under 50 cents a day. I will make sure that 5% of the world's population will use 25% of the world's resources. I will make sure that 25% of the world's population will use more than 80% of the resources of the world, so that through their stomach I will misguide. Through their stomach I will get them astray from the right path, and I will never let them achieve that level and status which I could not have.
Narae Hadri!
I will make sure every one of them. But with some people, this will not work. And they're going to be the one who are mukhlaseen, who are going to be the one that you have purified, who do not have any desire or want for the lowly side of this world, who do not have any desire for any status or position in this world, who are going to become Amirul Mu'mineen, who will become Al-Qadim, who will become Al-Rida, who will become Al-Hussein, who will become Al-Sajjad, who will become Al-Baqir. I will not be able to get them, stop them to achieve that level which is higher than angels.
Narae Hadri!
Ya Ali!
Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad Salawat!
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And I will make sure that in every era there is a person with the same characteristics and principles that I will live for the rest of my life in this world, who will stand and oppress humanity. At some eras it will be called Abu Lahab, at some eras it will be called Fir'aun, at some eras it will be called Namrud. At some eras, it will be called Yazid. At some eras, it will be called the greater Satan. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you do that, I will also make sure that in every single era, there will be people that will be standing on the principles and the characteristics of me. That they will have Rahmaniyat in their blood and soul. They will have Karamat in their blood and soul. They will have being Ghafoor in their blood and soul. They will have Kahariyat in their blood and soul.
But Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad Salawat!
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
They will have different names in every era. Someday they will be called Moses, Musa. Someday they will be called Ibrahim. Someday they will be called Isa, Christ. Some days they will be called Yaqub. Some days they will be called Yusuf. Some day they will be called Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Some day Ali. Some day Fatima.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Some day Hassan and some day Hussein. And they will fight. They will fight. Some Karbala would be in Medina, where they will come to burn their house, where they will come to drag them in streets, and they will stand. And some in the battlefield of Karbala, where your characteristics will meet my characteristics. Your characteristics will be called Yazid and Shimr and Ibn Ziyad. My characteristics will be called Hussein, will be called Abbas, will be called Sakina, will be called Asghar, will be called Aun, will be called Muhammad, will be called Ali Akbar, will be called Ali Asghar. And there will be mothers who, just like every other mother who loved her kid, that if the child is sick, if the child has a fever, the mother feels as if she is burning. If the child falls, it is as if she has fallen. That the mother's love is more than the love of Allah. There will be mothers on the 9th of Muharram who will be telling their kids, "My son, tomorrow is the day of Ashura. If before you Ali Akbar gives his life, if before you Ali Akbar gives his life, do not call me mother. Then make sure that when the day comes, you're going to be in the front lines. You're going to be the one who's going to go and sacrifice." The mother's name is Zainab here. And the son's name here is On or Muhammad. The mother is the daughter of Bibi Fatima. She has the same characteristics. She has the tongue of her father. And she's saying that, "My kids, on the day of judgment, I have to show my face to my mother. I have to show her my face, and I cannot stand in front of her. If Hussein, your life are not more important than the life of Ibn Hussein. You're only 13 and 11. I want you to go and sacrifice." A 13-year-old would say, "Mother, I'm only 13. Would say that, but do you know what they said? "We will make you proud. We will make sure that we make you proud." The day comes Mother is asking the kids, how come? How come you're alive? How come? How come you haven't gone to the battlefield? The kids say, you know, Mom, we've been asking our uncle. We keep on saying that we would like to go to the battlefield. He keeps on refusing us. What can we do? We keep on asking and he says no. Mom says, okay, don't worry. Don't worry. I will go and talk to your uncle. If his uncle comes and says, Hussein, मैंने तुम्हें बाप की तरह नहीं पाला. He says, Hussein, my brother, did I not raise you like mother? And मेरे छोटे छोटे बच्चों को ज़्यादा क्यों नहीं दे? Why are you not giving permission to my kids to be able to go to the battlefield? And mom says, my sister, मेरे बहन तूने माँ की तरह मुझे पाला लेकिन मैं छोटे छोटे बच्चों को कैसे दूँगी? My sister, you have raised me like a mother, but how can I give permission to a 13-year-old and 11-year-old kids to go to the battlefield and face thousands of men with weapons? Tibby convinces, the uncle decides, they can go. Do you know, their faces were smiling. Unke chehre pe foran muskurat aa gayi ke ab hum shahadat hasil kar sakte hain. Ye kyun hai? Why is that? Because these kids, they know that they are on the truth. They know that they are on the truth, and this is the will and the pure will of the Creator for them to give a lesson to all of humanity, to all of the kids who are 13 and 11, for them to know that if a time comes that you have to defend the truth and justice, do not consider your lives more important than the truth. And after us, every 13 and 11-year-old child will look at us and say that the truth is worth more than our blood. That every mother will say, to save the truth, I will give my 13-year-olds, I will give my 11-year-olds. But justice and truth must be saved. On Muhammad, who were holding these swords that were bigger than them, who walked in front of the army which was had weapons to the teeth, they started fighting. The battle started. The enemy was surprised that how can a 13-year-old have the spirit? How would a 13-year-old have so much spirit to give his life for a God? They don't know that the spirit that comes within this 13-year-old is not Fatima, is not Hussein, is not Zainab, is not Ali. This desire to uphold the truth and justice is their desire. And they came and they fought. And they kept saying, Uncle, look how good we're fighting. Are we not making you proud? They kept fighting. Enemies struck in the soft flesh of all those hunger. Spears. Swords. Arrows. And these kids fell on the ground. And the uncles ran what, how, and how they are. They lifted their bodies, started coming toward the end. As the news spread, the Khabibin